He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, what you have scheduled this game?
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go Tar Heel.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Wednesday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for the Triad, where our state will be the epicenter of college basketball tonight. At 7 o'clock, right here on WSJS, Duke will be in Raleigh to face NC State. And at 9 o'clock, in a game WD and I will both be attending in Chapel Hill, Wake Forest and North Carolina will meet inside the Smith Center. And that's where I want to start, because regardless of who wins this game, it strikes me as a game we're going to learn something about both teams. If Wake Forest wins, it'll have wins against Wisconsin, Duke, Virginia Tech, and the Tar Heels. Sounds like an NCAA tournament team to me. On the flip side, if North Carolina loses, it'll have their second crossroads of the season. After the four straight losses, a lot of people were asking questions. And if they lose to Pittsburgh and at home to Wake Forest in back-to-back games, you're going to have many of those same questions crop up. And they've only been playing basketball for 2 months so far this year. It's now 2023. So we're almost at a point where excuses don't really mean much. If North Carolina really wants to be a national championship contender this year, it beats Wake Forest at home tonight. They should play. Emphasis on should. We'll see if they do. They should play with more passion than we've seen so far this year. They're coming off their worst loss so far this season. They had a lead against Pittsburgh. They blew that lead. North Carolina has more talent against Pittsburgh, although Pitt kind of backed up that win against North Carolina last night with a win coming from behind against Virginia, who's also really good. So maybe we should be spending more time talking about Jeff Capel than talking about what North Carolina should have done on the road there. The last time Wake Forest met North Carolina, it was the 23-point win in Winston-Salem a year ago, and that represented the low point of last year. That was a game all throughout that tournament run. Guys like Armando Bacot, Leaky Black, Caleb Love, RJ Davis, Brady Manick, they went back to, that's unacceptable. We can't lose by 28 to Miami, then 23 to Wake Forest. We need to turn this thing around. So weirdly, Wake Forest represents something to a lot of these guys. And Steve Forbes knows this. He's going to have his guys prepared. This was Steve talking about the matchup that he's looking at tonight.
Coming off a loss, they'll be even more on edge. But they would be that way anyway, right? I mean, they have a great program. Hubert, man, finished first year, goes to the national championship, up big. Yeah, it'll be a tough environment for us. But we'll go down there and compete, you know, and play hard. And we've been on the road, man. We've been to Wisconsin. We've been to Clemson. We've been to Rutgers. I mean, you know, we've been in some places. So we'll be ready.
This kind of blows me away. I don't think anybody in the ACC has been better than North Carolina has the last 3 years at home. Caleb Love and RJ Davis are in their third seasons with the Tar Heels. WD, what do you think their record is? They've played 34 games. How many has North Carolina won at home out of 34 the last 2.5 seasons now?
I'll just go out on a limb and say 29.
31. They are 31-3 at home. And you could probably count the losses. Marquette, remember the Roy Williams incident after the game that gave us unusual questions? That was crazy. And then they lost to Pitt in February of last year and lost to Duke in Coach K's final game at the Smith Center. Caleb Love and RJ Davis are 31-3 at home in their careers. They are 6-0 at home this season. BDOT probably believes it was all due to him. Sixth man of Tar Heel basketball on his way to Chapel Hill will be in studio with us later this hour. This is crazy, too. It'll actually be Steve Forbes' first time really coaching at the Smith Center. His first year, he coached a game there. Davion Williamson and Zay Musia shot the lights out, but North Carolina won the game. Fans were not allowed in the stands at that point. So this will be Steve Forbes' first time coaching in the Smith Center with fans allowed in the stands. Here's what I think the key tonight's going to be, getting into the X's and O's. The post. Whoever wins the post. And that's going to be such an intriguing battle. Wake Forest has more size. They pushed around Virginia Tech. They pushed around Duke. But Virginia Tech didn't have as many numbers as Duke did. And Duke didn't have experienced bigs. Looked like adults pushing around kids because kind of that's what it was. When Wake went up against Rutgers, they didn't push them around. They had adults on that Rutgers team. Clemson to a degree with PJ Hall and some more experienced bigs. So that's going to be the matchup. I could see Wake Forest continuing to roll down there, but my guess is Armando Bacot is going to have a huge game for North Carolina.
Armando!
He leads the ACC in scoring, by the way. 1 percentage point better than the second place leading scorer, Ty Appleby of Wake Forest. At Northwestern, Pete Nance went up against Wake a year ago. 15 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists. The experience of Nance and Bacot. I think that's going to be a difference tonight. I think North Carolina is going to play with its hair on fire. I think they beat Wake Forest at the Smith Center. We're looking at having the winner of tonight's game on tomorrow's show. Should make sure you're around for that. Steve Forbes or Hubert Davis. So we'll be at the game tonight and have plenty of coverage during the week. We'll get to the other game that you could listen to on WSJS, NC State, and Duke later on in the show. On Twitter at WSJS Radio, if you want in. We are streaming video there on YouTube as well, on Twitch. WD just waved to the camera if you're watching that way. Will Dalton's the executive producer of this show. Now let's get to the NFL. Last weekend had a great impact on the way we're going to view the NFL draft over the next few months. The Carolina Panthers eliminated from postseason play, which means they're pretty much guaranteed to have a top 10 pick. Then you look at the performances of some of the quarterbacks at the top. C.J. Stroud, 4 touchdown passes, no picks, great against Georgia. Bryce Young, 5 touchdown passes, no picks, in the win in the Sugar Bowl against Kansas State. After last weekend, there are 2 prizes to be had in the draft, and it's those 2 quarterbacks. But how would you rank them? 336-777-1600. Bryce Young put the exclamation point on his career in the Sugar Bowl. And first off, if I was a general manager or a coach, I love the fact that he played in this game. Think about it. He went to the playoff last year. He's guaranteed to be a top 5 pick. You're at Alabama. Anything outside of the playoffs, not good enough. It's essentially the New Orleans Bowl or the Beepo Brady's Bowl. Don't even know if that exists anymore. To Alabama. You've won the Heisman Trophy already. You have nothing else to play for. Bryce Young said, I'm playing. And not only did he play, 5 touchdowns, no picks. Incredible. He has the resume of being the first overall pick. If it was my decision, Bryce Young's my guy, locking the pick, Houston Texans. But I don't think Bryce Young's going to be the number 1 pick because of what C.J. Stroud did against Georgia. Now, hear me out on this. He plays in the game, playoff. He probably should be playing right now. He put his team in position before former Tar Heel Noah Ruckles missed the kick wide left at the end. 4 touchdowns, no picks against Georgia. And he was mobile. Hasn't really shown a lot of that this year. That was a question with him. What happens when you get him out of the pocket? Is this Dwayne Haskins 2.0? No. He can run it. He could be mobile. And that's the last box I think he needed to check. And get ready. NFL draft guy is going to tell us how Bryce Young's size is going to be a concern while the 6'3 C.J. Stroud doesn't have to worry about that so much. So you get ready. I think C.J. Stroud played himself into being the number one pick in the draft based on last weekend alone, which means Bryce Young would be available at number two and would be available to the Carolina Panthers. The Chicago Bears are likely to have that pick. And I can't think of a better trade partner for the Carolina Panthers now that that pick is obtainable than being a top 10 pick than Chicago. I can't think of a better trade partner. They're already set at quarterback. They're completely rebuilding. They could use more first-round picks, talent to add around Justin Fields. And Carolina knows that they're a quarterback away. Take a big swing. You probably don't even have to give up three first-round picks to do it. Like Philadelphia, or excuse me, San Francisco did, trading from 12 to 3. If Carolina's moving, right now they'd be number 8. If they traded from 8 to 2, a couple first-round picks to get to number 2, that's worth it to get your quarterback, because I think Stroud and Young are the prizes. Don't want to talk myself into Anthony Richardson or Will Levis. Move into the top 2, get that pick. Chicago seems like a perfect trade partner. After last weekend, a lot of impact we've seen on the draft. Based on what Stroud did, based on the Panthers losing, that is significant stuff there. We were going to do this yesterday, but there was just so much to get to with us being off on Monday and having an extended weekend that I've saved it for today. I have a list here of 5 bold predictions for the 2023 sports year that you can remember and keep me accountable for. That's the second leading scorer in the ACC, Ty Appleby. How many predictions do I have?
I got 5, though.
Yeah. 5 bold predictions for 2023 that WD is going to remember and replay back for me if I'm wrong on any of them, Sarah McLachlan style. And those are next on The Drive.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
WD, make sure the camera's rolling and that we're recording, because I'm going to take a stab in the dark here. 5 bold predictions for 2023. We are streaming video on YouTube, Twitch, and on Twitter at WSJS Radio. And these are related to our teams here in the state of North Carolina. 5 bold predictions for 2023. Let's get this thing started. And we start with
number 5.
Forgot that he said the word number in that. We're off to a great start.
Yep.
Number 5. The Charlotte Hornets will land the number 1 pick and Victor Wembanyama. 3 teams right now have 10 wins currently. Charlotte, Houston, and Detroit. The Hornets, they're going to stay that bad. Kelly Oubre, torn ligament in his wrist. I don't know how many guys need to get hurt or have issues off the court for Charlotte to realize they need to be tanking basketball games. I hope they've realized it at this point, especially with what they can obtain in the draft. They will stay that bad. And if you're a bit of a conspiracy theorist, you might think, well, Detroit had the number 1 pick just a few years ago, and Cade Cunningham, and Houston's had the number 1 pick more recently than Charlotte has. Charlotte had the number 1 pick the last time was when Larry Johnson was taken number 1 in 1991. So, especially with LaMelo Ball wanting to keep him happy and in Charlotte, give them the number 1 pick, or at worst, number 2 to take Scoot Henderson. But for these purposes, Charlotte picks number 1 and gets the transcendent superstar from France.
Number 4.
The Carolina Hurricanes are going to win. Take 2. The Carolina Hurricanes will win the Stanley Cup. I'm a fan. I'm emotional. That's the new Mike Gundy 15 years later. I'm a fan. I'm emotional. They've been knocking on the door for years, and they've been playing Boston better than they have year after year after year. It almost feels like when the Colts couldn't get past Tom Brady and the Patriots, you knew in order to get to the final, in order to get to the Super Bowl in that case, they had to get past the Big Bad Wolf. In this case, it's Boston.
Boston.
They're the Big Bad Wolf for the Hurricanes, and the Canes get over that hump and win the Stanley Cup, something that hasn't happened since 2006.
Number three.
A lot of talk right now about Jim Harbaugh. Is he going to be the next head coach of the Carolina Panthers? Sean Payton, where is he going to end up? Both Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton are going to stay put in their current positions. That's my third bold prediction for 2023, and here's my case. Jim Harbaugh is currently sitting on a ready-made national title contender at Michigan. You are not losing as much as you did a year ago. J.J. McCarthy, who just led you to the playoff and dropped 45 points in a playoff semifinal, despite having the turnovers that they did and the bad luck they did, he's coming back for you. Your biggest rival, your biggest hurdle, before USC and UCLA joined the following year, Ohio State, they're not going to have C.J. Stroud. They're not going to have a ton of those great weapons out wide either. That's a lot that you don't have to worry about if you are Jim Harbaugh. I don't think he passes up that opportunity to coach up this team. Sean Payton, the reason he left the New Orleans Saints is because he didn't have a quarterback anymore. And when I look at the options available, well, Vegas is playing Jarrett Stidham. If they let go of McDaniels, okay. Carolina, Sam Darnold, that's what we're doing here. Okay, maybe we could trade and get the number two pick. You could talk me into that a little bit, but will the Saints give... What would you have to give up in order to get Sean Payton if you're Carolina? Denver? I'm going to lock myself into that Russell Wilson situation. Don't know about that. Indianapolis? Woof. That's a bad quarterback situation. I think he sits back and waits for a better opportunity with a better quarterback available next year. Both Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton stay put.
Number two.
Duke will get its revenge on North Carolina. All this talk about the rivalry's over because of the Final Four. Let John Shire win at Cameron next month and have Carolina fans say, well, yeah, we got the Final Four win. And Duke fans will just say, why are you bringing up old stuff? I was with our old coach. What's his name again? Krzyzewski? How do you pronounce that? I don't know. John Shire. That's who it's all about right now. That's all you got to say back to that. And then North Carolina hosts Duke for their senior night. And how about this? A year after Coach K's senior night was spoiled, I'm sure some Carolina fans will care if the last time Mr. Armando Bacot and others take the floor at the Smith Center, it's
Armando
Duke coming in and spoiling their party. And who's to say when you get to the NCAA tournament, matchups don't favor the Blue Devils, who play better defense and has some experience on their roster. All the experience is talked about with North Carolina, but with Duke, they got some as well. Who's to say they don't advance further in the NCAA tournament than North Carolina does? I think Duke completes the trifecta. They sweep North Carolina this year, and they advance further in the NCAA tournament. That's how they get their revenge.
Number one.
Number one bold prediction for 2023. Something we noted just a moment ago. The Carolina Panthers have a perfect trade partner in the Chicago Bears to move up to the number two pick. The Bears don't need a quarterback. Carolina does. They need assets. They need first round draft picks if they can get it. Carolina, they stockpiled assets with the trades of Anderson and specifically Christian McCaffrey. They move up to the number two pick. Houston gets scared off of taking Bryce Young because of his measurables and goes with C.J. Stroud, who had a great showing this past weekend, showed some of the mobility. Bryce Young sitting there at number two. He is the next quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. Starting game one this year, Bryce Young. Carolina trades up to take him. My five bold predictions of 2023. Which of those do you like the most? I know which one you like the least.
Sure, the Duke one. Now, I will give you half of that one. I think Carolina wins at Cameron and Duke wins at Dean.
Really?
Yeah. I can just smell it. I don't know what it is. Yeah. I don't think Duke gets both of them, though.
All this pompous stuff from Carolina fans. Oh, we don't even think about Duke anymore. We don't care. The rivalry's over. If they lose that game at home.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
Can you imagine those speeches?
I can't imagine.
They might not give those speeches after that game. They might just say, you know what? This tradition's over. Baycott and others, we're not speaking because of how bad that loss would be in that spot. Some news that came down in the last few hours. Jimbo Fisher is officially gone full heel. Everybody wanted him to find a play caller, given how bad the offense looked this past year. He found one. Bobby Petrino. Yeah, one of the most disliked coaches in all of college football. Yeah, we'll bring in that guy. He's going to call the plays. And here's the crazy part. I think that's going to work. I think Bobby is going to get that offense rolling. Now, it makes him easy to hate. DJ Durkin might have killed a guy as the defensive coordinator. Once upon a time, he was Maryland's head coach when that guy got overheated and died. Let's not forget about that. And Bobby Petrino had his own off-the-field problems. Jimbo Fisher isn't exactly lovable, affable. So they're heels, but I do think they're really good coaches, and I think it's going to work out. Texas A&M, one of the most intriguing teams in the country, kind of like North Carolina last year. Everybody thought, oh, with the recruiting classes and all the way they're going to take off, that it was going to be 2021 when that happens. I thought, no, you got to let some of that talent mature a bit, and then in years two and three, you start to see that jump after you have the recruiting as your foundation. So last year, those freshmen from the best class in college football didn't really contribute much. This year, I think that starts to happen. And I think Texas A&M, there might be some Tennessee-like possibilities for A&M this year.
Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
A lot of people, B-Dot's here, by the way. Six-man Carolina basketball.
Oh, shucks.
Shucks is what he said there.
Yeah, shucks.
What's wrong?
Nothing. You just wanted to let the people know I was here. Oh, shucks.
Grammar school's in about 15 minutes. And with this song playing.
It wasn't me.
I remember, well, that was the first concert I ever went to.
Shaggy?
Summer of 2000. It was Alicia Keys, who was a little-known singer-songwriter at the time, followed by Shaggy, and then the Backstreet Boys.
Mm.
Summer of 2000. That's the first concert I ever went to. What was the first concert you ever went to?
Busta Rhymes and Jay-Z.
Not bad.
It was a super jam in Greensboro. It's freaking ridiculous.
WD?
Three Doors Down.
Wow!
Harris Cherokee Casino.
Who's Three Doors Down?
It's like a...
We'll write that down in grammar school.
What type of rock band?
Yeah, it's alternative rock in the same group as like Coldplay.
Yeah, early
2000s. Killers. A couple days it made me older.
Look at this photograph.
Not quite Nickelback. Find some Three Doors Down that we could come back to before we get to grammar school in just a little bit. I had a point with all this.
Did you?
That I was trying to make. Oh, yes. WD was over at my place when we brought in the new year. And right after the ball dropped, they introduced Shaggy. And Shaggy did not do It Wasn't Me or Angel. He did Mr. Bombastic, which is a great song.
Yes.
But a lot of people in that room learned Shaggy is not the guy who sang, but you got me on the counter. No, Shaggy is blah, 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 that guy. That's who Shaggy is.
Wait, which one is Shaggy?
Blah, 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 blah.
Thank you. I'm going to clip that.
Please, thank you. I was hoping you were going to be on cue.
Oh, just like the time where B-Dot was beating up the President of the United States.
Set your face up, Biden.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to lie. There was a period of my life where I didn't think that Shaggy was the person that he actually was. What it wasn't mean? Him.
Who did you think he was?
No, I thought he was the one singing the hook. But it wasn't him.
I don't think I've ever given it that much thought at all. I don't even think I've ever cared.
No, Shaggy's a man. Yeah. And Shaggy's the one with the Shaggy voice.
Yes, it wasn't me.
There you go. ACC basketball. Hard transition.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. Just enjoy it, baby.
Lava, 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 lava. We're not gonna be able to keep going.
Yo! Yo! That is gold.
Wait, is that me or the actual song?
That's you.
I can't tell the difference.
100% you. 100%.
Since I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get the show out of this rut.
That was great.
Of music.
Oh my God, I needed that and didn't know it.
I posted. See, WD is watching The Dark Knight for the first time this week.
Mm, my gosh, man, that's a good one.
Watched it today.
You saw it already?
Yeah.
Yo, with Bane?
Or last night. Yeah.
Oh,
is that
no,
with Bane?
No.
This is Joker.
Oh, Joker.
Heath Ledger.
Oh, Heath Ledger. No, that was a good one, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one.
So he's watching
Bane was
that.
Better, though.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. Now, let me ask you that.
My mind just exploded. What?
That's what your mind did.
Bane's better than the Joker?
Dude, Bane was born in the darkness. You just adapted to it.
What? It's incredible.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
I said you don't agree.
But it had me thinking. Mm. That movie came out in 2008. That's 15 years ago now, dog. It's 2003 or 2023. Mm. 15 years. And here's a list of some songs. This is the top 15 of the Billboard chart in 2008. You ready for this? It's a great year of music, in my opinion. Number one. Actually, do we have the top 10 counter that we can do here?
Number 10. To one.
Forever, Chris Brown.
Number 9.
With You. Chris Brown.
With you, with you, with you.
Chris Brown had a lot of hits in 2008.
Number 8.
Oh my God, that was vicious.
Sorry.
Oof.
Loving This Club, Usher featuring.
I wanna make love in this club, hey.
Young Jeezy.
In this club, hey. We can do the door with the door with my diamonds on. Love that.
Number 7.
You better pull that one too.
What, my Jeezy?
What number are we on? Oh, 7. This song was fire. Love Song, Sarah Bareilles.
I don't know what that is.
Love Song. I'm not going to write you a love song because you ask for it. Cause you need. I remember when I was in college, she was good at performing Raleigh, and I was a big fan. And I tried to ask some of my guy friends to go, wait, man, you want us to go to a Sarah Bareilles concert with you?
Fact.
And then I asked girls to go with me. Platonic friends, and they were all like, are you going to pay for the ticket? Is it a date? No. I was wondering if you wanted to come with me to the Sarah Bareilles show, and it's not a date. I couldn't find anyone to go with me, so I didn't go.
Oh.
Number 6.
No Air, Jordan Sparks.
Yeah.
And Chris Brown.
Yeah. No air. How am I supposed to breathe with no air? Air.
Number 5.
Apologize, One Republic.
Uh-uh.
You don't know that one?
No, you go.
It's too late to apologize.
It's too late to apologize. Okay, I never knew what that song was, but I know that song
fire.
For sure. Yeah, I definitely know that song.
Number 4.
Lollipop, Lil Wayne.
Ooh, lick you like a lollipop.
Next.
I think number I
like
3.
That. Hold on, let me keep singing. I think I like that lick me like a lollipop.
No One, Alicia Keys.
No one, no one, no one.
Which we acknowledged was at my first concert alongside Shaggy.
Mm.
Here's a little bit of Shaggy if you don't know what it sounds like.
Number 2.
Bleeding Love, Leona Lewis.
Mm-mm.
I keep bleeding, Keep bleeding in love.
Oh, keep bleeding. I never knew that's what she was saying. Keep bleeding. Keep bleeding in love.
Isn't it an epiphany when you realize what somebody's saying in a song?
Yes, because I've heard that song a million times at the bowling alley and did not know what she was saying. Keep bleeding.
But really, that's not the part that everybody knows from that song. It's the bridge. It's like, but I don't care what they say. I'm in love with you.
Yeah, nah. It's keep bleeding.
It's building.
Keep bleeding.
What's next?
Number one.
The number one Billboard chart song of 2008. 15 years ago.
Mm.
Low. Flo Rida.
Oh.
Featuring T-Pain.
She got that apple bottom jeans. Boots with the fur. With the fur. The whole club looking at her. She hit the floor.
She hit the floor.
Next thing you know, shoulda got low, 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 low. This is the white women's dreams and nightmares meeting here. When that song right there comes on, white women lose their minds. I love it. Oh, it is the best time. Oh, I love it.
We've been doing.
Nah, you're supposed to get the awkward one.
We've been doing 10 minutes of radio now. 10. And this segment was either the best radio we're going to do this week or the worst.
Yeah.
But I do at times catch myself imagining, new year, let's try a new radio show. Oh, this is a sports talk show? Let's turn this thing on. And the first thing you hear is this.
It's either that or us whispering on Fridays.
Sounds like a Muppet. I see a Muppet.
Wait, was that me or Shaggy? Can't tell the difference. On to the main event of what we do.
You're ridiculous.
Or maybe the second best thing that we do today. B-Dot takes me to grammar school next.
It's The Drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
With or without.
This is Three Doors Down?
This is not Three Doors Down. This is U2.
Didn't you play Three Doors Down?
Oh, do they sing this too?
No!
Does who sing this too?
I thought you wanted With or Without You when we came back.
We said Three Doors Down. You have been talking about Three Doors Down. Was your first concert.
I said Here Without You.
Oh.
Not With or Without You. All right, I want you to pull this up and we're going to restart this all over again. Okay. Grammar school's on its way. No, I'm serious. You find some Three Doors Down, and we'll get to that in a second. Grammar school is on its way. How about you tell us who grammar school is sponsored by very quickly?
Sponsored by Heritage Hardwood Floors. Superior craftsmanship is the best way to describe their work. If you like to see it, you can go where? To Winston-Salem State University. Look on our basketball floor right there in the CE Gaines Center, and you will see the product of Heritage Hardwood Floors.
Heritage Hardwood Floors.
Because all women love what, Josh Graham?
No, I'm not going to do it.
Jesse and Catherine at Heritage Hardwood Floors, their tagline says it all, baby. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling. I got a better tagline, but Josh don't want me to give it to y'all.
No, just sometimes our ideas are good ideas?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes their ideas are the ideas they want. Just
should we just share with them our idea?
No.
All women love what, Josh Graham?
This is the part where you play the awkward Gary Hahn sound to get me out of a difficult situation.
Let's go to the sidelines, Tony Haynes.
And let's restart this segment from Jump Street. This is how it should have sounded.
Yeah, I didn't know either song.
I'm here without you, baby.
I didn't either.
You saw them live.
I was about to say, what song
it's
did they do
concert.
When you were at the
concert? Was a long time.
This is their biggest hit.
I thought Kryptonite was their biggest hit.
Here Without You and Kryptonite are two pretty big songs.
You two are some. Y'all are stepbrothers.
Are we best friends now? I know that movie.
Now let's get to grammar school.
Josh Graham has his own way of speaking.
In high school, he didn't play sports, but he did wear a helmet.
And just when you think it can't get any worse,
my English teacher wanted to flunk me in junior high. Thanks a lot. Next semester, I'll be 35.
Josh is going to attempt to learn BDOT's vernacular.
I'm from the old school. I got a little street knowledge. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
It's time for BDOT's Grammar School, presented by Heritage Hardwood Floors. When it comes to flooring, they have no ceiling.
Just got this tweeted in. Josh Graham in that last segment sounded like a cat about to get sick. I don't know about that. Lance says that's the greatest non-sports segment they've ever heard on this show. Yeah. Dot, we did it. Now let's try to top it.
I have one in my DMs. Do you want me to read that one?
You can probably pass on that.
All right, so this is season three.
Oh!
Yes, we're kicking off season three today. Season three has a different layer to it. Okay? I will start off the segment by letting Josh know a word or phrase that he has to use in his next interview with a player.
It's going to be some good bump tonight.
That's exactly what it is too, Josh Graham. That's exactly what it is, some good bump. You have to use some good bump in an interview with someone tonight. Now, I will tell you, it's probably best if you use it with whoever wins. Whoever loses probably doesn't want to say that it was some good bump because to them it probably wasn't. Do you take this week's challenge?
It's case by case. It's case by case. We'll have to hear the words and then I'll decide if I take the challenge. But I do have a caucastic word for you still.
Okay, go.
It's not a word as much as it is just a general question. Sarah Bradford pointed out to me on New Year's Eve that, man, we have a shelf full of Harry Potter books at our house.
Uh-oh.
Every time I hear someone say Harry Potter books, I think of 50 Cent challenging. Forget who it was he got into a beef with. Yeah, Floyd Mayweather. Read one page of the Harry Potter book. Right? That's all I can think of. She's a huge fan of Harry Potter. Other than Harry, can you name one character from Harry Potter?
One of his names start with a G.
Is that right? I'll even throw Lord of the Rings in here, too.
Oh.
There is somebody who starts
Smeagol.
With a G.
Smeagol. Smeagol in Lord of the Rings.
Look at that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Precious.
Yeah. The Precious.
And the G was Gandalf.
Gandalf.
That's Lord of the Rings.
Oh, is that Lord of the Rings?
Dumbledore.
That's what I was thinking about.
Dumbledore's.
Yeah.
Harry Potter.
I wouldn't have got anything. If you wouldn't have given me that lifeline, it was over for me. Nothing Harry Potter.
All right.
I've never seen any.
What are my words this week?
All right, here we go. And I think I'm going to have to give you some more explanation on the usage in the interview because I don't think you quite understand, but we'll move forward right now. If someone says they paid $100 for the lineup, what does that mean?
$100 for the lineup?
$100. $100 for the lineup.
$100?
Yeah, $100 for the lineup.
How's $100 spelled?
H-U-N-N-I-T. Yeah, they paid $100 for the lineup.
336-777-1600. $100 for the lineup. That means I need help.
Yes, if Josh gives out the phone number, yes. 336-777-1600. Haven't even given you the rules. I apologize if this is your first time listening. I give Josh three words or phrases of the urban vernacular, and he has to sort of transcribe them, if you will.
A hundred.
Yeah, $100.
For the lineup.
$100 for the lineup.
Incredible.
Yeah.
WD, I'm not going to him because he looked at me back with a blank stare. Usually he's got some type of expression on his face. No, his face just turned white. And that's hard, given his face is already really white, like mine.
336-777-1600.
I'm going to go to the audience. Who do I
Kenan
have?
Keenan and Winston.
Keenan, what's it mean? $100 for the lineup.
I can't imagine why you'd pay $100 for a haircut,
dude.
But that's what it means.
Dude, people do it. Can you believe that?
Thanks, Keenan.
God almighty. Keenan from the trade just set you up for a dub right there with the first. And that is correct. $100 for the haircut.
How much do you generally pay for a haircut?
Like $30 to $40.
For me, with a tip, it's $25.
With a tip.
With a tip.
Yeah, mine is 30 without the tip, 40 bucks with a tip.
100 for the lineup.
But some folks actually pay 100 for the lineup.
So if I see Armando Bacot with a different hairdo on tonight, I could potentially ask him if he got 100 for the lineup?
No, you don't ask someone, do they got 100 for the lineup? You would ask him if he has a fresh shape up, fresh haircut, you'd be like, man, what, you paid 100 for the lineup? And he'll be like, nah, I ain't pay 100 for it. He'll laugh like hell at first.
And he's been changing his hair up a few times.
That's why
year,
I pointed him out specifically.
Yeah.
What's next?
All right, up next, what does it mean to beat the Chargers like Rocky?
I'm going to say that's you win in a rout. You win decisively. Like the way Wake Forest beat Carolina last year at the Joel, they beat the Chargers like Rocky.
I'm going to ask you one more time to just because I want you to start 2023 all because what you just said is not what I said.
You said charges.
Beat
right?
the charges up like Rocky.
Beat the charges up like Rocky.
Yes.
That's what I meant.
Okay. Because I thought you said Chargers.
Oh, no. What? Chargers when it makes its goal, charges goal.
Correct. Okay.
Beat Justin Herbert and company.
Now, so again, if I ask you if someone beat the charges up like Rocky, what did they do?
They beat the brakes off them. They beat the charges off like Rocky.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is incorrect.
No!
They won their court case.
See, I could have given you that.
They see, WD, you see, because WD was like, well, you said charges.
Yeah.
You beat the charges up like Rocky. You beat those charges
in
court. Yes, you beat those court cases. You beat your charges like Rocky. It's a double entendre.
I should have gotten that.
You should have.
That's on me.
Yeah. All right, so you have to get this correct to be satisfactory in today's episode.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean if someone says, I'm about to put one in the air?
I'm about to put one in the air. Take it. It's not the basketball context, though. I'm about to take a shot. About to put one in the air. When in doubt.
Even in 2023? Even in 2023, you're going to go with that
I
logic?
Think it's firing a pistol in the air or firing a gun in the air.
Not even going to use WD this week for a lifeline or
WD,
nothing.
What do you think?
I mean,
I'm going to put one in the air.
Hey, can you clip that for me? I want that. I'm going to put one in the air.
I would have guessed the same thing on this one.
Thank you.
The last question is when you should have went to me.
Okay. WD and I are on the same page.
And what is your final answer?
Yeah, you just fire a shot in the air.
That is incorrect.
No!
Put one in the air means you're about to smoke a blunt.
Oh.
Yep.
When in doubt.
Yeah, see, I thought that's when you said that. I thought you were going to go drugs and you would have been right.
With the wrong direction.
You would have been correct.
Yeah, but all right. I have good instincts when it comes to this game.
In your interview tonight, was that some good bump? Will you use that as your challenge? That's an easy one.
Yeah, I don't know which one I'm going to use. I'm going to have them written down.
But that's what I'm saying. Like each
see if
week,
I can work them in.
No, see, but like the words that we use in grammar school aren't necessarily the words that you use for the challenge. I'm going to give you a challenge word each week in season three. And then you'll play grammar school.
Now,
if you pick a word in grammar school that you will feel more comfortable using, like if you feel more comfortable asking Mondo if he paid 100 for the haircut or the lineup.
No, I don't know if he's going to have a new haircut, but... WD, what do you feel better about? Good bump or let the chopper ring?
You can't possibly use let the chopper ring.
If RJ goes 10 for 13 tonight.
Yeah. Like you.
RJ, you let the chopper ring, didn't you, dog?
You got to do that one.
All right,
no, we're not going to do
so
that
one. One of those.
Good bump. Let's start easy.
I'll let you choose.
Good
one
bump.
Of those.
Good bump. I'm going to do that.
Was tonight some, but it has to be recorded. And you have now. Here's the question: do you play it back tomorrow on tomorrow's show, or do you wait and hold it till next Wednesday?
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
Or both.
Okay, that's fair.
Dot, you need to get out of here.
I do, man. I got to get up the road. You know, traffic about to be a beast.
Off the Chapel Hill, B Dot, six man, Carolina basketball, 9 o'clock tip from North Carolina.
But if I get a speeding ticket, I got a great lawyer. You know what I'm gonna do to them charges?
Beat the charges like Rocky.
Damn right.
I'm going to put one in the air.
Yes!
Hey.
Yes! That That means I'm about to go smoke.
Anytime Caleb Love gets the basketball, I'm going to put one in the air. That's him. His mindset.
That is great.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
For the first time in 2023, it is time to welcome Hayes Permar of Sports Channel 8 to the show. We'll play Skips or Plays with Hayes momentarily. Hayes, I wonder how you spent your New Year's. WD was over at my place. We were having a great time watching the kick from former Tar Heel Noah Ruggles drift wide left and then counting it down from 5-4-3-2-1 in New York City. How did you spend it?
Yeah, I noticed you were more concerned with the coinciding of the ball dropping and the kick kicking than you were with kissing your new wife on New Year's. You completely forgot about the
no.
ball was dropped, but it was dropped by you, Josh Graham. You dropped the ball.
Hold one sec. WD has the audio from my house, how it sounded on New Year's Eve.
Where's my wife?
See, I found her. I found her before the ball officially dropped. It was efficiency. Hey, we work in radio. It's down to the second. You got to hit the hard out. I hit the hard out, Hayes.
That is true. I will say one thing I learned from radio is like the actual time of like 4 or 5 seconds. Like you think 5 seconds is a snap of a finger? 5 seconds, I can like run out of the room, pee, and be back in a chair. Like, 5 seconds is a lot of time. I'm with you on that one.
Totally. Hayes Permar, Sports Channel 8, joining us. That wasn't exactly 4 or 5 seconds. What game is more intriguing to you tonight here in the ACC Big Four? I do want to mention, just out of love to the folks at Club Corbett at A&T, NCA&T is hosting a ranked basketball team tonight. Charleston is going into Club Corbett, so best of luck to the Aggies tonight. But NC State is hosting Duke. North Carolina is hosting Wake Forest. Which game intrigues you the most?
I don't know. I feel like people are calling this NC State-Duke game almost like an elimination NCAA tournament game. We know too much about quad one wins right now. And it feels like this is one of the few opportunities that NC State has left to get a definite quad one win. And even if you believe in a super quad type thing, Duke, even if they're not good, makes an impression on a committee. Even if they're not elite, makes an impression on a committee as a win. So I feel like that's slightly more intriguing than a Wake UNC matchup that both teams will probably have opportunities to do more things throughout the year. And also there's the question of how good NC State is. They're going to be without Jack Clark tonight, I think, but their guards, those dudes are like NBA talent and volatility, and they could lose by 30 one night, but they have guys on their team that could put up 40 points in a game, and that's not that common in college. Like, Tre'Quavion Smith could have 2 40-point games this season, at any given point. And so watching him, I think, is always intriguing. Whereas UNC, you kind of know what you're going to get. Probably going to be closer than it should be. They'll probably win or lose by 3 points. If I could only watch one, I'd watch State Duke tonight.
That's at 7 o'clock, and NC State's not going to have Jack Clark. They're also not going to have Gary Hahn, so that's a key part of the game, too.
Let's go to the sidelines. Tony Haynes.
Yeah, let's move on from
really?
That.
Really? That's how we closed out 2022. We're still doing this?
Let's do this. So we're in 2023. Yeah, that's me trying to transition the way that Gary did on that call there.
Let's go to the sidelines. Tony Haynes.
Let's go down to Tony.
Tony, let's clean this thing up. No Coach K, no Roy Williams in the ACC anymore, in the ACC Big Four. Kevin Keats is the longest tenured coach here in the state of North Carolina. Remove the logos that are on their shirts. You can only have one coach to lead your program, Podunk State University, for DG show fans from back in the day. You're hiring John Shire, Hubert Davis, Steve Forbes, or Kevin Keats. You can only hire one. Who are you picking?
This is a setup. This is a setup. You're trying to make me take Forbes because he's been, like, energetic. You're sitting there in the triad market.
ACC Coach of the Year.
You want me to pick somebody else that you can be like, why not Forbes? Why not Forbes? Look at what you have. And I am on Team Forbes. I like Forbes. I was blown away when I learned that their win over Duke, and it was it wasn't everybody that on Duke that's going to be on Duke for most of the year. Let's be honest about that. That was Steve Forbes' first win over a top 25 team.
Yep.
Do I have that right?
That's right.
That was interesting because I felt like the vibe on him had been very good and for all the right reasons. But I was interested to learn that he had just earned his first win over a top 25 team. If I had to pick one of those four, I don't know, man. I'd much rather pick the program than the coach, right? I would take Steve Forbes at Duke before I would take Hubert Davis at Wake Forest as far as who's going to be more successful. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, but Hubert's told me in the past, if he's not rooting on North Carolina, if North Carolina is not playing Wake Forest, he's rooting for Wake Forest. He grew up on Patterson Avenue, downtown Winston. Just going to throw that out there.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying, though.
You're just trying to back me into either picking Steve Forbes or telling me I'm wrong because I didn't pick Steve Forbes, and I'm not going to play that game with Mr. Triad Josh Graham. I'm not doing it.
Mr. Triad Josh Graham. Sixth calendar year of this show being on the air, by the way, in the Triad. No big deal. Let's get to
exactly.
Let's get to skips or plays with Hayes.
Hayes Permar is somewhat of a Renaissance man, an expert in the finer things, but he hangs his hat on music.
Loves his God, and he's no friend of Satan.
He was like 06, getting busy with his sticks, been watching Big Mike and Lil Trick.
Mike and Trip.
I just need a Zion and someone he can dunk on.
Today, Hayes will decide if this music is smash or trash, glows or blows. It's time for Skips or Plays with Hayes.
And WD told us the theme that we were talking about Shaggy earlier in the show today, and I nailed my Shaggy impression. It was incredible. Nailed it. And
wait, why were you talking about Shaggy earlier in the show today?
We were talking about New Year's, and Shaggy showed up on the screen, and there were some people at the party, I'm not going to say any names, who did not know that in the song, It Wasn't Me, Shaggy is the one rapping, not the one that's on the hook. That Shaggy, not, but you got me on the counter. Not that guy. That's not Shaggy.
Wait, say that again? Because I'm not sure which camp I fall in. Shaggy was rapping or was not rapping?
Shaggy was rapping. He's not the guy on the hook who said,
who's the ba-da-ba-da guy?
That's Shaggy. Shaggy's not on the hook. Shaggy's the one rapping.
So who's on the hook?
We don't know who that is. He's not on the song. I don't know. He's featured. I don't know who it is.
Hold on.
We can do the whole segment on this.
Didn't they have Shaggy play Sebastian in the live Little Mermaid in network TV not too long ago?
Yeah.
So wasn't that the whole point of him singing it was that he sang and did it in like the under the sea accent?
Well,
like
no.
That he had a Sebastian accent?
Rick Rock is the name of the guy who sang the hook. Rick Rock, whoever that is. Now let's get
to. I'm extremely confused now.
No, but I'm just telling you that Shaggy's the one that sounds like this. And Rick Rock is the one that says, but you got me on the gun.
Wait, maybe that's what I'm confused with. The sound that you're playing of you doing a bad impression sounds like the but you coming up the counter guy.
Oh, well, I apologize for that then. Let's get to skips or plays with Hayes.
Let's do it.
We were talking about songs and movies from 2008. and it made me feel old that that was 15 years ago. What do you got, WD?
All right, so we're going to start off with a song that came out in 2007.
Whoa, yeah. 16 years ago.
Yeah, Crank That Soulja Boy.
Yo! Soulja Boy, tough. Hey, I got this new damn for y'all called a Soulja Boy.
Any reason why we chose 16 years ago? That's a random number. You know the dance, Hayes?
Now, yeah, I know the dance. This is a skip on so many levels. The song was never good. The dance wasn't good. Like, I get that there was a, like, subversive message here, like a wink-wink, what we're talking about when we talk about Supermaning, I guess. But, like, none of this trend, I understood it, and I get that like, the kids are going to be different. But, like, a lot of times when the kids have trends, even though I'm an old, I can look at that trend and be like, that's cool, and if I were a kid, I would have been in on that trend. And I just, even if I were of the time where Superman was the thing, I don't think I would have been in on it. This is a skip.
I was in high school when that came out, and yeah, that I was right there with you, Hayes. I wasn't part of that trend, but I was a fan of the Soulja Roy t-shirts that people would wear at Carolina games. What's next?
I will say, in about 7 to 8 years, when Geico does a commercial involving Superman and whoever it is, like that will probably be funnier and more entertaining than the song. It's coming. When Geico brings Soulja Boy back, and that's going to be funny.
Yeah, that's coming one day. It's going to happen. What's
Much
the next
like
song?
Scoop, there it is.
Yeah, Kiss Me Through the Phone by Soulja Boy is a great deep cut song by him, by the way. Used to listen to that song while lifting weights, if you can imagine that.
Come on now.
All right.
The next.
Why you got to bring up lifting weights? Now we got to do a whole nother segment on Josh Graham lifting weights.
Workout playlist.
Me in high school. What's next?
This came out in 2011. Party rock anthem, LMFAO, goon rock, Lauren Bennett.
I'm very confused at the prompt right now. This is 12 years ago? I thought this was like, we're doing songs to make you feel old. Are we just doing songs of the last 15 years?
Yes.
Okay. I was very confused.
All right. How much do we have to listen to before I can skip this?
You could skip it now if you'd like.
Get it out of here.
Hate it.
Yeah, I never really got the LMFAO trend.
However many listens this has or views this has on YouTube or streaming or whatever, over 50% are ironic or, like, making fun of it. Like, that's, like, somebody's at a party and they're like, hey, Alexa, play party rock. Like, like, under half of the time this is being played, it's somebody actually wanting to listen to it. It's a bad song. Get it out.
Last one.
This one came out in 2013. I Knew You Were Trouble, Taylor Swift.
Once upon a time, a few mistakes ago, I was in your sights. You got me alone.
This isn't skips or plays with Josh Graham, clearly. I think we know what happens if it skips or plays with me.
Is Taylor Swift an automatic play for you? Automatic, everyone?
She's one of the five. It's an automatic play if you get it from me.
Wait, what are your five? Oh, hold on. Taylor, is Billy Joel an automatic five?
No.
Coldplay is.
Yeah, for sure.
Taylor, Coldplay,
Avitz, Killers, and I was going to say Kanye, but I don't think I could say Kanye anymore. Where's the Gary Hahn drop when we need it right now? Bring it up. Bring it.
Let's go to the
Let's go down to Tony Haynes.
Hey, Josh Graham. Anytime Kanye speaks, I'm going to listen. Let's go down to the sideline with Tony Haynes.
Let's go to the sideline, Tony Haynes.
The crescendo.
It sounds musical. I just want to hear this on top of the Taylor Swift.
Let's go to the sidelines, Tony.
It's fantastic. I think for that reason, it should be a play. What do you say?
No, it's a skip.
Oh,
I'm not anti-Taylor the same way that, like, you're pro-everything Taylor. I am not anti-everything Taylor. I've got some Taylor love. But this song never did it for me, didn't get it. And it felt like she was already identified as being, like, the breakup queen artist. And then she, like, went and did this one, almost like rubbing it in the face of people. And it was like, okay, enough. Keep it moving. And it wasn't a good song.
Let's go to the sidelines. Tony Haynes.
That's how WD wants to move out of this segment, because it was a confusing prompt and he went 0 for 3. There you go. Hayes, enjoy the basketball tonight, my friend. We'll talk next week.
Same to you. You're going to both games, I assume.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Hayes Permar, Sports Channel 8.